Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth. Everybody, welcome back. This morning show was in the nighttime for a long time, but it's coming back for one last breakfast in bed. I'm Alex.
Despite being canceled, I still have a lot of positive energy and am not regretful at all. I'm JT Sizzle.
And you're listening to Cloak and Jabber, a Cloak and Dagger podcast. That's right. Surprise. We are back for one last episode.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of, as you were saying, Justin, a lot of sad stuff to talk about, because since we taped our last podcast, since we taped the end of season two, there were, I think it was 7 months before they came out and said the show was canceled, which sucks.
No, it's too many. I felt every minute of that. Felt every day.
I remember you didn't sleep, right?
No, not 1 minute, not one blink of an eye. I just had my eyeballs taped open, waiting, searching the trades, waiting for any hot shingle news. And I'll
you,
tell you
probably
what,
read a lot of stuff about Bafo BO while you were doing that.
That is 100% true. You know, they're making new Avatar movies.
What? Anyway. I love that movie. My favorite thing in the first Avatar is... want to say
sex tales?
Sex tales. There we go. And dragons. They fly on some dragons. I remember these movies very well. We don't need to go into it.
I wish they just took the catering budget for 1 week and made an entire new season of Cloak and Dagger.
Oh my god! I do wish that. I will tell you. There's a lot. There's a bunch of different things that we could talk about on this podcast. Before we get further into realistically talking about the cancellation, the reason we're doing this is because Cloak and Dagger are back one more time. Ty and Tendi are back one more time, guest starring on this season of Runaways. The third and final season also of Runaways, because that was also canceled, making this whole thing very sad.
Yeah, this is a real exercise in Pyrrhic. This is a chasing windmills, tilting at windmills.
Yeah, real Don Quixote type situation going on here. If you do want to skip ahead and watch before we get into the talk, because we are going to do a little bit of recap for the episodes, mostly from the perspective of Cloak and Dagger fans, since this is a Cloak and Dagger podcast. But Cloak and Dagger show up at the end of the 7th episode, Left Hand Path, in the last scene. But then the 8th episode, Devil's Torture Chamber, is the crossover episode. So that's the main one that we're going to talk about here. But I do want to talk about the cancellation, because I'd say this was the most bummed I've been about a canceled show in a while when that came out.
Yeah, I mean, I said this a lot on the podcast. Like, Cloak and Dagger was my favorite comic book show. It was like, I think the acting was so good. The stories were great. It all felt, it had stakes to it. It felt very real. It felt like we were really riding along with these characters. It wasn't at all hokey, yet it still maintained the comic book, like a comic booky feel. I'd probably say that Watchmen has sort of taken the top slot of my favorite comic book shows. But still, like, I love these characters. I love the world they created. So to see them here on this show was interesting.
It was interesting. It's definitely very different, and we'll get into that in a moment. But just to bounce off of what you're saying, I do think, like Watchmen, and for anybody who isn't watching Watchmen, definitely check that out. We do a podcast called Watchmen Watch that's been rolling out twice a week, talking about that show. That's been a lot of fun and a lot of deep stuff to talk about. And the reason I think you would like both of them is because they're both issue driven through the lens of superheroes. And that's one of the things that Cloak and Dagger did really well. Watchmen is doing that really well as well, where you had two seasons. The first season dealt with racial violence, racism on Cloak and Dagger. The second season was all about human trafficking, but it never lost sight of the fact that it was all about Ty and Tandy, and that it was about their relationship and it was about their development as superheroes at the same time. But it was a really special show. I understand why it's not coming back, because there's all this behind-the-scenes stuff happening at Marvel TV. We just found out recently that Marvel TV is effectively being shut down and folded into Marvel Studios proper, which isn't a huge surprise given everything that's been going on with the Disney Plus shows and Kevin Feige taking over the unit and everything else. And Cloak & Dagger did not have a very high viewership, even by Freeform standards, but it's still... It was a good show that had a lot to say, and I'm sad to see it go.
Yeah, I think that I have the timeline correct. When they announced all the new Disney Plus Marvel shows, and there was not a ghost of a mention of any of the other Marvel TV shows, it was like, oh, I see what's happening here.
Right. The weird thing that messed it up a little bit, too, is on Disney Plus, on launch, very bizarrely, they have some of the Marvel TV shows. They have the first season of Runaways. They have, oh gosh, what's the other one? They have the first season of Runaways. They have two seasons of Agent Carter, and they have the first season of Inhumans, which is bizarre.
So what a buffet.
It is a buffet. Also, because it's hard for people to watch Freeform stuff, I kind of hope Cloak & Dagger ends up on Disney Plus, because I feel like a lot of people will discover it then. But... yeah. Before we heard about the cancellation, before anything else, they did announce that there was going to be this crossover on Runaways, which is something that people had been asking for a while, and it finally comes to fruition, again, in the saddest way possible.
Yes.
To clear this out before we talk about what's going on Runaways, you haven't watched the show, but you've read the comics, right?
I love the comics. I love both the original run and some of the sort of first extension of that. And then the most recent series I thought has been excellent and really recaptured a lot of the original Brian K. Vaughan energy and character-driven stories.
Yeah, that's by Rainbow Rowell, and a lot of the art is by Chris Anka, and it is so good. It's so really much good. Fun, particularly if for whatever reason you're checking out this podcast because you're a Runaways fan, definitely read that book because it is the best version of the show. Now, I watched the first, I want to say, season and a half of Runaways. And
what made you quit?
Well, Justin, I'll tell you, the first episode is great. They completely capture what was going on in the comic book. It's excellent. They expanded a little bit by showing you what went on with the parents, which is something that you don't really get on the show. By the way, for those of you who don't know anything about Runaways, the basic idea is that a bunch of kids discover that their parents are the biggest supervillains in the world. They changed it a bit for the show where it's a little more complicated than that. There's actually a supervillain that they're working for and they're scared of. So there's even time with the parents and the kids. And frankly, that's the thing that kind of threw the entire show off balance, because the kids are interesting. They don't actually run away until the end of the first season, and half the time is spent on the parents, which, despite most of them being very good actors, is very boring. It's also the reason I gave up halfway through the second season is it's so slow, to the point that I have this tool installed on my computer where you can speed up what you're watching on Netflix videos, on Hulu videos, or whatever else. And I only use it when I need. I only use it when I need to review something, like when I've already watched it and I want to watch it again, just sort of to get a sense for a podcast or something like that.
Okay.
Runaways.
I want to check the tape on that one.
Well, here's what I'm saying is Runaways is so slow, I realized the only way of making it watchable was by putting it on 1.5 speed.
Wow.
Like it, which is just unfortunate. I really want to like the show. I think the actors overall could be good given the right material, but they just don't have it.
And they fit the roles. I mean, I get you. I understand 1.5 speed. I live my life at 100 miles an hour as well. So,
by the way, congrats on that new Fast and Furious movie you're starring in.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot about slowing down and really it's like slow and anger management. So it's like it's going to be like I'm more realistic. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, Fast and Furious. I'm a little tired now.
Yeah. But to your point, yeah, like I think these actors are good and they fit the role, the comic book roles really well. for Runaways specifically. So I do think there's potential there, but let's reserve our judgment for a couple minutes from now.
Yes, absolutely. And the last thing that I'll say, very much positive for this, something that they kind of touched on a little bit in the original comics but got away from, and then Rainbow Rowell has actually embraced it full-fledged, is the Nico-Carolina relationship, which the show dove right into and has not let go of at all. And that's great. Like, that has clearly meant a lot to a lot of viewers, and it's very cool that they have embraced that in such a big way. So that said, let's get around to the cloak and dagger of it all. Basically, as far as I understand what's going on in the season, Elizabeth Hurley is playing Morgan Le Fay, who is a powerful sorceress from the comics. She has been messing it up with the Runaways gang. One of their members, Alex, has been trapped in their version of hell, a purgatory, which very coincidentally is the Dark Force dimension, which they never called the Dark Force dimension, mind you, on Cloak and Dagger. And Nico casts a spell to try to get Alex out, and in the process calls Ty and Tandy to her. And where we leave them at the end of episode 7 is they poof in and say, "Who are you and what the hell have you done?" And that's kind of where their entrance onto the show, which is fun.
Yeah, it's a classic comic book crossover moment.
Absolutely. Now, in case you forgot what happened to the end of season 2 with Cloak and Dagger, they left New Orleans, decided to go on the road together, try potentially out being in a relationship together, though we don't get a lot of that this episode. No. And they are going to try to be superheroes. So that's sort of where we pick up with them here. So the episode itself is pretty simple, I think, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's
a nice... Bunch of the Runaways are captured. They get uncaptured. They go to this purgatory because Cloak can take them there.
They meet a wizard who looks like he owns a baseball card vintage shop or something. And he shows up a couple times.
Yeah, I assume he showed up at a previous episode. That certainly seemed to be the implication there before Alex got trapped in purgatory. Meanwhile, Alex is wrestling the idea of, should I kill my mom or should I kill my friends? Clearly somebody's tempting him in purgatory. And the Runaways and Cloak and Dagger basically wander around for a while until they find Alex, who has freed himself. They leave this purgatory, and then Cloak and Dagger leave as well. And that's kind of the long and short of it, right?
Yeah, and just a couple of the plot points that I thought were interesting. The moment with Alex was like straight out of like it was the Luke Skywalker Emperor moment from Jedi, like literal translation.
Well, that was also so. What happens here? The way the Cloak and Dagger play into it is, first of all, they need Cloak to get them into this because they say it's the Dark Force dimension. I gotta say, as a fan of Cloak and Dagger, this was one of the first big bummers to me because though they never said it was the Dark Force dimension, I'm actually blanking now what they called it on Cloak and Dagger. It wasn't the Underworld. It was where the Loa were.
Yeah. But
that wasn't the Dark Force dimension. It was something else, but the way that they visually depicted it on Cloak and Dagger was just sort of a blank dark stage with things popping out in the middle, like a mall or a gas station or something like that. It was so fascinating to see and so visually distinct. This was classic Los Angeles is hell, it's on fire, it's purgatory, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think across the board, the choices they make on Cloak and Dagger, I felt like were very deliberate, and the choices on this show feel a little less so. And it's the kind of thing where, like, Cloak and Dagger show up here, and it feels like they're the varsity players right. come in to, like, play JV for a little bit. In every aspect, like the way they are in command of their characters, the way they know how their powers work. Well, that was something they struggled with for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
So it was just such a distinct thing. One thing I did like plot-wise was when at the end of the episode when Dagger uses her powers to see Alex's hopes after he's sort of turned to the dark side, you see him with all of the powers of the other Runaways we assuming that he kills them or somehow defeats them. That was a cool moment. And that was, I believe, right out of the comic.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a cover of one of the books. I'm not 100% sure which one, but that was very cool. And I wanted more of that kind of thing. Like, maybe it was a budget thing, maybe it was a time thing, but a lot of the episode is spent wandering around. Cloak occasionally cloaks people out of places to other places. Tandy touches Alex at one point. She also touches Nico at one point, which I thought was, again, maybe this is my focus on Cloak and Dagger, but I thought that was a really good moment.
Yeah.
Because she touches Nico to find out if she's trustworthy, because Nico is freaking out. The darkness is in her. She's trying to track down Alex. And Tandy is turning to Carolina and saying, this is crazy. This girl is just sort of wandering off and leading us through hell. Why are we just blindly following her? Carolina, of course, says, I'm Team Nico all the way. But she grabs her aunt anyway, and she sees that her greatest hope is getting married to Carolina, which I thought was a very sweet scene. And yeah, a well-lit scene as well that felt stylistically consistent with Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, it felt like a lot of the scenes in the first season of Cloak and Dagger, where they're wandering mm-hmm. in sort of the woods. It felt like it was actually part of that, and I thought that was nicely done.
Yeah, we also get to see Ty uses his fear powers at one point, right? Who does he grip onto?
He grabs Gert's hand and sees that her fear is watching her friends get and Old Lace the dinosaur get hurt by some sort of bats, I believe. And
sure.
She's like, take me instead.
Right.
So I think it was a Batman origin thing. Pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. Gert in the comic books becomes Batman, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's definitely the way. Maybe in the show. Maybe this is a direct setup for the upcoming Batman film.
Yeah.
With Robert Pattinson.
I don't want to lump on it too much, but as I was really looking forward to this crossover, even though I've been a little iffy on some Runaway stuff, and maybe it was a budget thing, maybe it was a time thing, but the fact that they made the decision that they get to Purgatory and they play it off for comedy, which is totally fine, but nobody has their powers. They can't use their powers there. So it immediately, you don't get the most satisfying part of a superhero crossover, which is seeing everybody use their powers together. You get it very briefly at the end when Tandy throws a light dagger to Nico, who grabs it, covers it in dark energy, and turns it into a dagger and stabs a bad dude. That's pretty cool.
That was
cool. I like that. But I wanted more of that.
Yeah, you wanted to have the crossover be about them combining their forces somehow. I did like the follow-up to that moment where she's like, hey, you keep this sort of weird dagger we just made and use it well. But I mean, to get on the meta side of it, it's all super weird watching this where it's like no one's going to see any of this go anywhere because both of these shows are canceled. So in that way, it was like sort of bumping into an ex and then watching them bump into another ex and just having the most awkward hangout.
I have to assume, I mean, part of the limitation here is we just watched this episode. I have to assume that by the end, Nico takes that dagger and that's how they take down Elizabeth Hurley or something like that. Otherwise, why introduce that element? But the much sadder part to me is at the end of the episode, right before Ty and Tandy leave, they say, I don't know if you wrote down the exact phrase.
They say, they're like, the Runaways are like, thanks for your help. And Tandy's like, maybe you can help us next time. Nope.
Oh,
big ol' nope
so
on that.
Sad. That made my heart hurt so much when I saw that. Where I was like, no.
Yeah.
Neither of you are doing anything. On the flip side, it reminded me, this is a very old reference, but the Simpsons episode with the film festival where the critic comes by. Jay Sherman, and they have this whole crossover. They make a big deal about it. They're like, Jay Sherman meet Bart Simpson, and they're like, ugh, this is awful. By the end of the episode, Jay Sherman is leaving to go back to New York, and he's like, hey, maybe you can come on my show sometime. And Bart's like, yeah, I don't think we're gonna do that. So
that's funny.
Same sort of thing. It's sad. I mean, both of these shows, I'm sure all of these actors will go on to great things, particularly like Aubrey Joseph and Olivia Holter. Fantastic.
So good. Yeah.
And I definitely want to see them do more. I'm sure the Runaways kids will get to do more stuff too, but it really is, there was so much promise to these Marvel TV shows and it just dissipated. Why do you think that was?
Well, I mean, I think it's a couple things. I think the way this sort of tier of those shows rolled out, they just never got the attention they did, or at least with Cloak and Dagger, the attention that it deserved. I feel like both because of the network it's on, the way that it came out, I think it was just a little bit lost. And then on the other side, an odd thing happened where the movies sort of took over the TV. Like, that never happens. Mm-hmm. And it did. This is sort of a first time thing.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing about it is that they just didn't feel necessary. You know, Jeff Loeb, who we've had on our live show a bunch of times, he's been a very good friend of ours. He always liked to say, it's all connected. It's all connected. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but he never managed to reach that. You know, there were a couple of appearances on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You had Samuel Jackson showed up once. Kobe Smulders showed up a couple of times. J.B. Alexander showed up once. But it didn't have, you never had that connection to the movies. So it always didn't feel as vital as what you were watching in the theater, particularly because the Marvel movies were so good and everybody was so excited to them. It felt like you got to the end of a Marvel movie, you'd see that post-credit scene and you'd have to watch the next movie to understand what's going on. It was pretty clear after the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that none of this was going to really connect in any way, you know?
But I got to say, like, the DC universe did it, and it doesn't all have to connect. I feel like right. It's just this, the way that Marvel's rolled it out is this, like, mandate of, like, well, it's going so well, we need to keep it tight, keep it tidy. When I don't know if that's true. I mean, I like how tight the movie continuity is and how it all amounted to one big movie. Mm-hmm. But I think that's sort of hamstringing a lot of the TV. And it'll be interesting to watch all the Disney shows because I think it will maintain that tightness. But it just means you can never experiment as much mm-hmm. as you want. It means you can't make a show like Cloak and Dagger and have it really succeed and fold it in that way.
I 100% agree with you on that. It's just that was the promise they made from the very beginning. If they had never made that promise, if they had said, no, it's just Marvel. It takes place in the same universe, but they're not connected. You know, sort of, or what they did with Legion, for example, which was a phenomenal show, and it was just somewhere else in the multiverse, even though it was an X-Men show, but they never really connected it to the X-Men movies or anything like that. That would have been perhaps a smarter way of going that would have relieved that pressure on shows like Runaways, on shows like Cloak and Dagger, on shows like the Netflix shows. But that's not how it was set up at the beginning, unfortunately.
But, I mean, they could break that promise. Are you telling me that DC's shows have kept every promise that they've established?
Every promise. No DC show has ever lied to me, Justin.
Wow, maintain that. Yeah, and you're loving Crisis on Infinite Earths because it makes total sense and uses all of the continuity.
Yeah, it's really smooth. It's a smooth experience. Goes down smooth like a nice whiskey or a scotch maybe.
Okay. Wow, yeah. Somebody opened the liquor cabinet.
I'm very drunk right now.
Daddy's old liquor cabinet.
Cloak and Dagger's done. I haven't stopped drinking since. Any final thoughts on this, Justin? And I know we haven't really talked about this episode too much in depth, but I think overall my impression was that it was kind of more to get the Runaways from point A to point B and give them some information versus being any sort of character movement for Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, and I think it would have been different. I mean, I don't know the timeline of when this was made, but I think it would have been different if they were trying. It feels like the intention was to try to establish this little universe here of the younger Marvel shows and like start to connect mm-hmm. them and build it out a little bit, which I think is a great idea. But life got in the way.
Yeah, life finds a way, as they like to say.
Yes.
And it was, I mean, it made sense. It made sense not just because clearly the cast of Runaways of the Class of Cloak and Dagger liked each other a lot. Like, they were always hanging out and taking pictures together. But also, Cloak and Dagger appeared in the Runaways comic books. So it's a very natural fit. I'm glad they did it. I'm glad they experimented with it. Even if it's not the best circumstances, I'm glad they were able to get it in before the end. Because
it was great to see them one last time. It was
exactly.
Great to see Tandy and Ty, like, really, because, you know, they're such, like we've said many times, they're such great actors. And even though they were playing a smaller role in this show, they were fully committed to the characters. Like, it was still great to see them.
Do you think there, a lot of fans have asked about this, do you think there is any chance of either of these shows ever coming back?
I mean, no.
Yeah.
Just the way on the, like, sort of business side, like, once this canceled, all the actors are released, and especially with the actors in Cloak and Dagger, they're all going to get jobs. So it's going to be, it'll be really hard to reassemble the glass once you've smashed it. And I just don't think Marvel's not the kind of company that's going to go back and pick something up that they've already sort of thrown away and be like, you know what, let's do this actually.
Yeah, even if it's good, even if it is excellent like Cloak and Dagger was, what Kevin Feige and company want to do is forge their own path and have the connection to their movies. They have their own plan. For better or for worse, what we've gotten of Cloak and Dagger, what we've gotten of Runaways, that's it for right now.
Well, and on that tip, there were rumors floating around maybe a week or 2 weeks ago about Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
A new season of Punisher, maybe, that they're so... Do you think that's just like weird fan talk?
Yeah, I think that's weird fan talk as well. Any of this Marvel TV stuff, this is going to come out too strong. I just think it has a taint on it at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like
taint great.
Yeah, taint great. It taint a good show and it can taint a bad show. That's what I always like to say. No, it just, you know, these shows didn't really work. They didn't really hit. Some of them hit a little bigger. Daredevil was certainly a big show for Netflix for a little while. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a very fervent fan base, even though not a lot of people watch it. So there's things in their favor, but it's not even close to the same level of even the worst Marvel movie. So they're going to err on the side of that, and they're not suddenly going to say, oh yeah, Jared Berthold is back as the Punisher, because why would they do that?
Right. And I do think there's also something to the fact, because the projects they're moving forward with are weird too.
Yeah.
Like WandaVision is a weird, it's going to be like everything I've read and seen of it, it's going to be weird.
Yeah. And then so they have,
I don't think that has mass appeal per se. But I think it is like they're going to take their shots. They don't want to take the shots that were already taken.
Yeah. The only exception I could, and why I could see this keep popping up, is Jon Bernthal is probably the one person out of any of the people they cast who is A, perfectly cast as the Punisher, but B, also actually kind of is a movie star on the level of the other people that they put in Marvel movies. Like, Charlie Cox isn't that. Krista Ritter is great, but she's not quite the same level right now. But Jon Bernthal is in a lot of hot movies, working with a lot of hot directors. People really like him a lot, and he is perfect as the Punisher. So, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think so, but maybe he'll come back and he'll kill the Marvel universe.
Wow, what a dream. I just hope some of my favorite characters could be killed by Jon Bernthal.
I hope he starts with Cloak and Dagger and the Runaways.
Yeah, definitely. What a dream.
And that's the note that we definitely want to leave this on. Thank you all so much for listening to our one final episode of Cloak and Jabber. Now, if you'd like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a bunch more podcasts. As mentioned, we do one about Watchmen. We do a Riverdale podcast about Riverdale After Dark. We have tons of others you can check out at comicbookclublive.com. We also do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by, and we'll give you waffles or pancakes, whatever you prefer. And if you want to subscribe to this podcast, even though it is done iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice, and that's it. that's it for Cloak and Jabber, folks. Thanks so much. Thanks for your support.
Great to be here. Goodbye. Cloak and Dagger forever.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.